The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All thunder, no lightning for the Bears offense. Just a bunch of noise. All bark, no bite. Whatever analogy you want to use. It is amazing on where the starting point was in 18. And we're like, look, no one wants to be 21st in the league in 2018. But this is a starting point.
Yeah,
we saw some good stuff.
Prove.
They went to the postseason. And this, we're leaving 21 in the dust.
Look at us.
But we did leave 21 in the dust because we're back to 29 as a Bears offense.
We went backwards.
It just went the wrong way, and it's amazing. And I cannot believe what I texted my buddy Perry yesterday when he was bitching and moaning about the Bears offense and the play calling again, too. I said, this is John Shoup level stuff.
Ooh, like, it is really, like, that's the thing that people don't realize. You're 100% right. This is, like, historically bad in recent years.
We went over this last year. Like, people don't realize as bad as Mark Trestman was as a culture guy, how guys quit on him in his second year. 2013, I believe, is the only time this century that the Bears have been in the top five in offense.
That's crazy.
The only time. It's crazy, isn't it?
Did you hear
in the last 20 years.
Did you hear Carmen's stat today on their show? In their last 30 games, so you're going back, I believe, until like late in the 2018 season, okay? Or into just past the midway point. In their last 30 games, their offense has scored 25 points or more. Guess how many times?
Yeah, I heard this stat. So out of 30 games.
30 games.
Guys guess like 12,
yes.
11, and the answer is?
6 times in the last 30 games, their offense has accumulated 25 points. And 25 points is basically the average line. Like, 25 is the average mark for teams in terms of scoring per game.
Let me give you context. The Browns scored 37. The Bengals scored 34. The Steelers scored 27. The Saints scored 27. The Washington football team scored 25. The Packers scored 35. The Bucks scored 45. The Chiefs scored 43. The Niners scored 33.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scrolling and I lost my page. The Cardinals scored 34. The Seahawks scored 34. The Chargers scored 39. The Jaguars scored 29. This is all this week in the National Football League.
In the last 30 games that this Bears team has played, and this is under Matt Nagy's tenure, they have reached the 25-point mark. This was Carmen's stat. It was a great one. 6 times. That's 20% of the time they have reached the 25-point mark. And that's just the average, kind of like the average output for an NFL offense. They're wasting a championship-caliber defense.
So does answer my question and then back to the phones. Does Matt Nagy's job need to be on the line? And I'm not just talking play calling. Then he's 25-14 here with the Bears record wise.
Well, I mean, the reality is this team wins 9 games. Let's just say this team goes 9-7, which would be a disappointment. 10-6, they're a wild card. But let's just say hypothetically they go 9-7, or even 8-8. You're not firing in the COVID era. You're not firing a head coach and the GM at 8-8. You're just not.
Even when you start 5-1.
Nope. That's my prediction.
That's how Lovey got fired. It wasn't necessarily for 10-6, but
not
it was
getting
for
to the
seven.
Postseason.
They were 7-1 to start that year. They
and
were
it was
7-1.
They went to the postseason once in his last 6 years, right? Wasn't
yes,
that
yes.
the stat?
But you also blew a 7-1 start. Like, it wasn't necessary. Like, you can't only win 10 games when you win 7 out of your first 8.
Let's play the what-if game, okay, when we're doing this, okay? What if we get to the end of this season and the offense is once again 27th, 28th, or 29th?
You have to fire yourself at minimum as the play caller, and you have to recruit the best offensive play caller. You have to.
Well,
you cannot call plays anymore.
Who's the best offensive play caller that's coming here?
I don't know. And like I said about these guys that he hired this year.
Is the general
manager.
They're all
guys. Well, they're all guys who have been fired. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
John DeFilippo has been fired twice in the last, like, 16 months.
So, again, if this team gets to the point where at the end of the year, the what-if game, what if they're the 29th, 28th, even 27th ranked offense overall, is there going to be any significant change? My prediction is no.
If they win nine games, yes. If they don't make the postseason,
okay.
And, you can't blow a 5-1 start.
Okay, what kind of change are you talking about? Like, will they change offensive coordinators again?
Yes,
maybe. But I'm saying that's an insignificant change, especially when your head coach is the guy that puts together the game plan and calls all the plays.
Well, when I say change the OC, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's not Bill Lazor. Bill Lazor is cooking help. He's a sous chef and he's cooking. with them, and they're serving up a crap sandwich to us. But it's Matt Nagy is the OC. That's what I'm talking about.
No, you're
Matt
right.
Nagy won't be allowed to call plays if this thing continues and they don't make the postseason.
And you can't just look at it and explain it away as, well, this was just a blip. No. Again, statistically, the 21st ranked offense, and that tailed off at the end of the year, the 29th ranked offense in year two, and seven games into year three, you're the 29th ranked offense. You can't be in the bottom five for, you know, the final 2 years and not think that changes should be, significant change should be on people's minds.
Mike and Tinley, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
I watched them last night and I thought, you know, your strength is your defense. Your offense is D3, and you're trying to outrace teams with a team that has offense no line, a flat-footed quarterback. You know, and the poor defense by the end of the game, they're just sucking wind. How about this? I never thought I'd say this, but put a fullback back in there, get another tight end in there, put Trubisky in there, at least get a few first downs. Look what happened last night when their defense finally had decent field position. Much as they've scored a touchdown. I mean, don't worry about 21. Just try it and get some yardage and keep your defense off the field. God, they're... And just one other thing. When he finally decides he's going to run the ball on that first and goal, Jesus, was that stupid. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I mean, that's not getting you anywhere either. I'm sorry to tell you that. Right. Like, we went through that last year. We played the entire year in 2019 in that formula, kind of, with Mitch under center. Like, for all of the people that want to scream at you, see, I told you so, it wasn't Mitch. Well, yeah, we were actually in front of you saying it wasn't always Mitch. But, like,
but
you, you were the 29th ranked offense in the league in yards and scoring with Mitch at quarterback, so you can't go there again.
This is how I bring it up. Nick Foles probably isn't the solution. We know that Mitch isn't the solution.
Right.
We know it. I mean, it's not to say that Nick Foles is playing better or worse than Mitch. He's, like you said, he's playing just as bad as before. But we already know, we saw it enough, that Mitch isn't the solution.
Right.
Now we're on to probably with Foles. We're on to probably he's not the solution. So, Mike and Indy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
Yeah, hey, guys. So, quick question. Couldn't agree with you more. My brother and I, who's out in Seattle, texting all during the game, we think maybe he's a big problem with the play calling. But how much of this is on Foles to make some audibles at the line and switch it up based on what he's seeing with defenses? Or does Nagy not even give him the ability to do that? Is there not enough trust built up there for him to even have that option?
I would say,
I certainly don't feel like I see it at all.
I would say, Mike, that's one of the things I trust Nick Foles. That he sees things correctly and he processes it right. Now, the execution of the actual play, they've struggled with, without question. But that's one thing that I am actually fairly confident in, that Nick Foles can get them in and out of the correct, quote-unquote, play calls.
Yeah. Right, but have we seen that? I mean, I'm not, you know, I love
well, you
football.
Well, you saw it, but Mike... You saw in the Tampa game where they actually diagrammed and they showed you exactly what Nick put them in, and it was the play that clinched the game for them. It was the wheel route that they threw to David Montgomery.
He just can't have these moments against Carolina when he just throws the ball up and it's an interception, or the play that you diagrammed, Waddle, when you're a bad play call, but again, on second down, terrible, terrible throw.
Yes. So, I mean, listen.
You can't make those mistakes.
No, you can't.
When you're him.
Yes.
Can we go to KC in Highland? I think he's going to make a good point. KC, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, thank you guys for taking the call.
Sure.
Always Selby Strong and Waddle to your wife with the hip replacement. I just had two of them, so I know how it feels.
I hope you're
all
doing
the best
well,
to you.
Casey.
Yeah.
Hey, for the record, why can't we put the best 11 players on the field? That's all I ask in offense. 2 points here. One, put the best 11 players on the field. Put two tight ends in. Help block. Help get that offensive running game going. Help give your quarterback some time. And most importantly, if continually your coach and your GM's head are being called for, at what point do we start calling for Ted Phillips' head?
Well, I've never liked Ted in the president's chair. I'm good with a business president of business ops. That's fine, and that's Ted's specialty. But when he's the guy who continues to hire the guy like Ryan Pace, and then we wonder 6 years later, when Ryan Pace has not assembled a lick of an offense, how this started, and Ernie Accorsi's in the building, and they're hiring a new general manager, and they're telling the new general manager that you got to hire this guy, you can't hire your guy. It's just an absolute mess. Or if the rumors are true that they brought in Chris Ballard and they didn't want Chris Ballard to cut Jay Cutler, it starts at the top. I mean, we always have to look at that, and I think that's an interesting point.
Listen, I think you've got enough body of work to make a really sound long-term decision on whether or not Ryan Pace is the right guy to lead your football team in terms of personnel. I think you've gotten enough. Have you not seen enough?
I've seen enough. Right. I would not let him draft again. You know, and I heard Cap finally be onto my thing today, where I've said, at the very least, you let him draft defensive guys.
Yeah, you can't.
And from the fourth round on, and then you hire somebody else. But, I mean, what are you doing there? I mean, if you're saying that your general manager can't draft half the players on your team, then you're admitting our GM sucks.
Yeah, bring me somebody that can do it all.
Our buddy Louie in Virginia Beach, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Louie.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
We're good.
Hey, it's always Sylvie Strong. It's always nice hearing you guys. You guys are probably the most entertaining thing that I get to listen to here on the East Coast. I would trade everybody on the East Coast so I can listen to you guys full-time on regular radio.
Thank you, Louie. We appreciate you.
All right, I know we've beat down all the problems this offense has and all the problems the Bears have to a dead horse, but I'm trying to offer solutions.
All right.
And one of the things that I thought about, and maybe, I don't know, Tom, you can maybe agree or disagree with me, is why can't we run like a two tight end set at all times? You have the kid, you have Jimmy Graham, you have big bodies. Obviously, we're not doing enough with our interior linemen to push anybody around, maybe get some extra help on the running game, maybe throw people off scent. You have Allen Robinson on one side, and especially on a short yardage situation, we're not running it. So put Javon Wims out there, He's 6'4". Let him be a big target. Help do stuff to help yourself out. And I don't know if you guys noticed that one of the last sacks that Nick Foles took on Sunday, they showed like the picture from behind, and they're trying to get like 2 or 3 yards. And every receiver that went out is going out 10 yards plus, and nobody's turning around. And there's a big old open area in the middle where somebody can take a slant or a drag route or something to be able to just throw the ball right behind the pressure and let him have some open field. So I'm not understanding the coaching's thought process here, but we need to start doing things that we have the personnel for that may be able to help things along.
Well, I think in general terms, Louie, I think your point is very well taken that, like, how about some adjustments here? Like, what we've been doing now, and again, it's not a three-game trend. I'm going back, you know, a year and a half minimum. I'll go back to the halfway point of the 2018 season when it started to turn and head the wrong way offensively. So we're basically at a two full year stretch here. Like, how about some adjustments to what's going on here? If that means two tight ends, then yes, put two tight ends. And with no disrespect meant to Demetrius Harris, you drafted Cole Kmet in the second round. Play him. And you've talked about, hey, yeah, we need to get him out there. I can't put him in. I'm sitting on my couch in my underwear. I have pajama bottoms on, and I'm having an early afternoon beer. If I could run out onto the field and push Cole out into the huddle, I would. I can't. Only Matt can do that. And then to come back the day after and say, or the after the game, say, yeah, you know, I mean, we really got to put it, we're going to get more out. If they want to give me the authority to stand out there in my pajamas this Sunday when the Saints come to town, I'll push Cole out into the huddle. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll get my ass off my couch, and I'll be the one that actually makes sure that Cole gets on the field for more than 20% of the snaps.
Waddle's going to be a Bears hero. He's going to get Cole Kmet on the field full time.
You're not going to like what I'm wearing. Bottoms. Yeah, at yeah. the time.
That's okay. You could pour water all over your chest like you did
yes.
on the Twitch channel.
And after every play, I'm going to look at Matt and go, more Cole.
Yeah.
More
keep
Cole.
There. No,
more Cole.
More Allen Cole. Robinson.
More
right.
Allen.
More
two
Montgomery.
Tight ends, two
more
tight
Montgomery.
Ends. Run Less the ball. Run
Patterson.
The ball. Run the ball. Run the ball. Cole, run it. Allen, run it. Rallin, add it. Yeah, please, something, save me.
332-3776. More of your phone calls. And why didn't Matt Nagy call a timeout before the half? We'll address that next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Bears lose. Their offense scores 3 points. You could even argue that that's special teams, but still, the offense leads them to 3. The defense scores 6. It's ridiculous. 312-332-3776. Welcome to everyone in the Twitch channel. Some great ways, new ways to watch and listen to the show. You can watch Waddle as I keep in touch with Waddle inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Where are you walking to? Where'd you just go?
I went to get a bottle of water from my bag.
There you go. Waddle's getting some water. I could see all of it. Big Brother is watching you. Mm-hmm. Check us out at Twitch. TV/ESPN1000Chicago. Make sure wherever you go, you download the ESPN Chicago app, because that's the easiest way to get the show on demand, whether it's live or whether it's by podcast. And whichever show's on the air, you just hit one button and bam, you get the live station. So now more than ever, not just the radio, tell your at-home smart speakers to play ESPN 1000. We're there wherever you need us. What about halftime? All right. So before the half, there was like 18 seconds.
You always call timeout, make them punt.
Right. It's fourth down. Like, I don't care if Ted Ginn's terrible or he doesn't want to catch the ball this one day.
What are you afraid of?
Don't you load up and try and block the punt?
Right. I mean, it's one of two things. I mean, they were punting from their side of the field, right? So even if you interfere or you rough the punter, the odds are you're not going to flip the field enough to give them another chance.
You may give them a chance for a Hail Mary on the last play.
Yeah, okay,
then.
But you know what? Let's not play defensive.
Right.
We're supposed to be aggressive. Let's get the ball back.
When we can't score, and they, I should say, when they can't score offensively, you say, look, any break we need momentum. Maybe a pump block before the half could. Someone told me in the Notre Dame game, I didn't see the entire Notre Dame game. I was expecting a more plucky Pitt team, like Abdallah was telling me. He was calling Pitt plucky on Friday.
Really?
Then the next thing I know, I tuned in the game. And
you put some money down on Pitt, and then you got plucked yourself?
I think plucky is a he was saying that they're ripe for an upset.
Oh, okay.
He thought Pitt could
I said that if you look at the way Notre Dame has been playing, they've been playing down to their competition. They were only a 9.5-point favorite or 10-point favorite over Pitt. Pitt has one of the best defenses in the country. And
BC lit him up for 31. Go ahead.
Ian Book has struggled against good defenses. So, and look at what they did against Louisville. They only won by what, like
5?
Yeah, against Louisville. So if a team was going to upset them before they get to Clemson, it was probably going to be Pitt. But obviously,
how'd that go?
Yeah,
I didn't see.
Well, the point is, someone told me that didn't Brian Kelly do that right before the half too, where he called the timeout late?
He probably yelled at
a couple of kids.
Yeah, a couple of kids on the sideline. He screamed at him, and then he called it.
I don't understand you. You're going Oppo Jim Boylan on us. You're keeping some like they're Tic Tacs in your back pocket going into halftime. I'm Matt Nagy. I've got one to keep in my back pocket. What are you doing, coach?
Bears are also working, trying to get more health. They're working out Dwayne Harris right now.
Right. He's a kick returner, right?
Yeah. He was with Dallas. He's been in the league since 2011.
Does that tell you that Ted Ginn may be on the way out?
With Oakland last year.
Biggs wrote that in the trib that Ginn most likely is going to be on the way out. He's not helping the wide receiving core. He had no interest in catching a punt yesterday. What's the point? He's 30, however.
No, I think it's fair, but like, I mean, let's not shift the focus over here and say, well, we got to get rid of Ted Ginn, because yes, you do, but you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right.
This is not just a, hey, Ted Ginn stinks at punt return issue.
Why do they need to sign another quote punt returner that Matt Nagy will try to be cute and use on offense? Why can't they use Mooney back there? Why can't they do something with their personnel?
How about Anthony Miller?
Get right.
Or do you not trust him? Wasn't he voted the most likely? Did I hear that correct in the broadcast? He was voted most likely to be late for a meeting.
I'm glad you brought that up because I missed it live. But, Chris, you have it. And this is Monday Night Football last night about Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller, third-year player out of Memphis. His teammates had a good time with him. They voted him the most likely to be late for a practice. At a virtual gala this past week, they were giving him the business.
That's not good.
Yeah, a lot of fun that is in a virtual gala where your second-round pick, who's greatly underachieved, is telling everyone that he isn't showing up to practice on time.
Yeah, that's not.
Are any members of the Bears team looking to open up a barbecue restaurant in the next couple of days that we need to know about?
Please. Maybe
it's
some of them
might day, isn't it?
I do. Like, I want Lance Briggs to practice in his opening week of the season. There are some guys on this team that I could say, you know what, go open up a barbecue joint.
Yeah.
Steven,
are we sure? Do we know what? I mean, I guess a lot of it's done on Zoom, but do we know? Does Nagy, where in the meeting room does Nagy like to sit? Is it the back of the room? Is it the front of the room? Do we know?
Oh, it's not getting Trestman bad. It's not. They're 5-2.
Guys are showing up to meetings late.
Whoa, time out.
The offense is worse than Trestman, but the team isn't.
Okay, that's a fair statement. But, like, again, I just want to remind people, this is not a 3 or 4 game trend. Like, how did he describe? We're in a bit of a rut or a major rut, whatever it is. This is a rut that goes back to the
mediocrity.
That's a rut that goes back to the midway point of the 2018 season offensively.
You nailed it. You can't call anything a rut when it's who you are.
This is who they are. Like, and trends are short periods of time in the National Football League. When you are basically 29th for 2 years. That isn't a bit of a rut.
You in the mirror, champ.
That ain't a rut. We're a little bit of a rough patch.
Would we call Akeem Hicks undisciplined?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else on this team that's selfish and undisciplined?
He's played so well, but he's got to stop with the penalties.
Well, they lead the league defensively in penalties.
And so does he.
That one was stupid. The jumping on the pile one was stupid. You can't call jumping on the pile before you blow the whistle.
That's fair, but...
Like, where's forward progress on that play? Like, they were just going to let him push him all the way to the end zone?
Listen, I think he's in a bind in a couple of ways. Like, when he hits the quarterback and falls on the quarterback, I don't know how you ask a 350-pound grown man who's going as fast as he can and hits a quarterback...
To stop midair.
To really stop and not put your full weight. Like, there are certain ones when you could say, oh, yeah, that was just viciously
dirty.
Well,
we've talked about it before. If he does try to stop or move a certain direction,
he's
going to
get
himself.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me take Steve, because I wanted to hear his analogy here. And I think it has something to do with what Waddle's talking about. Steve in Hanover Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Stevie?
Hello, gentlemen. Pleasure to talk to you.
Hey.
Thank you.
So for a quick story, about 6-7 years ago, Westwood Tavern in Schaumburg, Jay Cutler show. You guys gave out Packers-Bears tickets at the end of the show. Sarah Spain called out my name, and I happened to share the same last name with her. So all the fans thought it was rigged, but that was a good memory I wanted to share with you guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So Sylvie Strong, love you, Sylvie. I'm with you.
Thank you, Steve.
I've been wanting to call in. This is my first time ever calling. I've always been nervous to call in. And I heard a caller, I don't know, maybe about 3 weeks ago, who called in and shared a story about his dad. And I really wanted to call in and talk to you guys. Not too long after you were diagnosed, Sylvia, I'm sure you remember the day you got the news, but my mom was diagnosed June 15th with pancreatic cancer. And she's been in the battle, and about a week ago, they told us there was nothing more they could do. And yesterday, with my brother, sister, and myself sitting around her bed, she left us. And it took everything I had to call in, but I just wanted to share that because I just appreciate your battle and you guys just being a good distraction with all the craziness that's been going on.
Steve, I'm really sorry.
Yes,
I'm really sorry.
To you and your family.
It's absolutely awful, and it shows why, like, this is Cancer Awareness Month with October and Wear Pink, and it's why we need to continue to raise funds so stuff like what happened to Steve's mom doesn't happen ever again.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that, and it's obviously been tough. It's very fresh, so I'm very raw with emotion, but I'll leave that for a second because I do want to make a point. So the Bears for me this year, the best comparison I can really make right now is to the Cubs at the beginning of the year. When the Cubs were 13-3, I'm a huge Cubs fan, season ticket holder. They were 13-3. I was happy about it, but I still didn't know who they were. I didn't believe them. And I said to my friends at that time, like, if they go 500 the rest of the year, I wouldn't be surprised. And sure enough, they went less than 500, swept out of the playoffs, score one run in two games. And that's how I feel about the Bears. I feel like we still don't know who they are. I'm happy they were 5-1 or out 5-2. But I think these next six games will really tell us who they are and give us an idea, kind of like the Cubs, if they're for real or not.
Steve, all the best to you and your family. Let us know if we could do anything, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
There you go.
Thanks, Steve.
I want to bring up the playoff picture, too, coming up next as well. Because it's like, even though there's an extra team, could this year be as challenging as ever to make the postseason in the NFC? Then we'll get to Waddle's World at about 3:45 with the nuttiest story of the day. We want to continue to take your phone calls. We're always here for you at 332-3776.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, the Bears disappoint yesterday. It's a rarity that they get beat like they got beat yesterday. The offense isn't the rarity. I mean, that's been the norm. It's who they are. But I believe this is only the third time that a Matt Nagy team has lost by 10 or more points. It's a testament to the defense. It all goes back to the defense. Their record goes back to the defense. The not getting blown out goes back to the defense. I mean, the defense... In the third quarter, I thought they got tired, and I think they were getting pissed. But then they still rallied to manage to turn the ball over, score a touchdown. You know, it wasn't their finest moment with all the penalties and everything like that, but they don't stop playing, usually. And only the third time, Waddle, that the Bears under Matt Nagy have lost by 10 points or more.
Yes, as you said, it's because their defense keeps them in games.
Yep.
I'm doing some math right now. So
okay, crunch the numbers. Yeah. I'll take Jack and Gurney. Jack, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to say that Waddle is one of my all-time Bear heroes. I remember him catching a pass, I think, in the south end zone at Soldier Field, getting sandwiched by two defenders. I think he caught... maintained possession and a touchdown, but he didn't even know what universe he was in.
Still don't, Jack, sadly.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite games from 85 too, Jack.
Thank you, Jack, for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, I don't say Matt Nagy is the answer. I don't think Foles is the answer. I think they're both okay, but I have been saying that the offensive line is one of the worst problems the Bears have had perennially. Mm-hmm. You know, that game could have been coached by Andy Reid with Aaron Rodgers under center, and they still would have gotten cream because nobody can do their job on the offensive line. They can't open holes for runs. They can't protect the quarterback. You know, that to me is a major problem that needs to be addressed more than Nagy or Foles.
You're right, Jack.
Yeah.
You could tell you're a longtime Bears fan. I was watching Get Up today, and we're going to have him on in the next week or two. Jeff Saturday, a great offensive lineman who played for Peyton Manning, was saying that it was atrocious. He thought, though, that the protections were bad, though, too, and that's part of scheming. And he said that Peyton Manning would worry more about the protection plan than even the route trees and what route the receivers were running.
Yeah, I saw that as well. I mean, it's just been all a mess. It's just been a mess.
You just can't.
I'm still doing my. I'm still doing my.
You
math
keep crunching. Quick. Gary McHenry. This is good. This is a, we could do segments where we call it. You call while Waddle crunches the numbers. Yeah. Gary and McHenry. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show.
Thank you,
nice,
Gary.
I got a 2-part question, real quick. So we've expressed how bad the offensive line is, correct?
Yes.
Bad.
Aren't they all signed going forward?
Yeah, I believe that Leno is cost restrictive going forward. I believe Massey is not so much. But yes, they signed Whitehair to an extension, and James Daniels is only in, what, his second year?
Right, he's on his rookie deal.
Fetty's got a 1-year deal, I think.
Right.
So we got a bad offensive line that's going to be there for a while. No money and draft pick. Are we really going to trust Ryan to draft the O-line? Now, the second part of my question runs right into this. Okay, we agree that Nick Foles is not the quarterback. We agree Mitch is not the quarterback. How we have Foles through next year as well, right?
For 2 more years.
2 more years. Oh, my goodness.
But that's okay. I mean, like, listen, if he's your backup at $6 or $7 million a year, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's not great, but it's not the best thing in the world.
Either,
no, you're right, but.
Who's our starter, though? We don't have a forever quarterback.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and you guys, you don't like, and I don't either, but I don't think he's got a fair shot in New York because I think Adam Gase is awful. And I'm not sold that Darnold, good or bad, but we might have to entertain that.
I'd be open to it. Look, that's what happens when you don't have your forever quarterback and you don't have a prospect behind these guys. Mitch is going to be a free agent, and Nick Foles is going to be like your backup quarterback. Now, how are you going to get the guy? You're not going to be drafting at the top of the draft. You got to draft some linemen here, too. You need tackles. You need another interior lineman. You have to shore that up. And
yes.
Ryan Pace hasn't done that early in drafts, at least with a left and the right tackle.
Let me put this into perspective for you. I think I've done the math correctly. Okay?
Roddell's done crunching the numbers.
Going back to week 11 of the 2018 season. Where I would suggest to you that the offense started to piddle down their leg, lack of a better term.
Right, they were scouted a little bit more.
First game of the season, they scored 23 at Green Bay and lost in crazy fashion. Then they scored 24, 16, 48, 28, 38, 24, 41, 34. I'm starting with week 11 against the Vikings at home, okay? They beat the Vikings 25-20, but the defense scored in that game. So when I factor out defensive scores from the week 11 to today, that's 30 games. That's the last 7 games of the regular season in 2018. That's all 16 games of 2019 and the first 7 games of this season. That's 16, that's 7, that's 7, that's 30 games, right? If I did the math correctly, which I took my time and think that I did, do you know what their offense has averaged in the last 30 games in terms of scoring?
Well, so this is like Carmen's stat about not only scoring 6 times of over 25 points. So what is their average? Well, right now they're 19 a game. 19-something.
Okay, using my math, you factor out 7 points because they scored a defensive touchdown last night. So you take 1 point away from their points per game.
I'll go 17.9 points per game.
Very close. In the last 30 games, if my math is correct, and admittedly I did it fast, but I think I did it accurately, and I subtracted the defensive touchdowns.
You carry the 1?
I tried. And I did not account for any of the defensive touchdowns in 2019, so I don't know if there were any. So I just took the number of points that they scored, and I may have to go back and factor that. But without factoring that in, 30 games, they have averaged offensively 17.666 points per game offensively in their last 30 games. 30 games. That's not a trend of four games or five games or even six games.
That's no rut.
In their last
slump.
In their last 30 games, if my math is correct, and I would say I'm 95% sure if I've made an error, I've given them the benefit on the upside.
Well, what changed that game? What changed? But did was it that they just figured out what Nagy was doing, that the league caught up to whatever he was doing? And now for the last 30 games, this is who the Bears' offense is. Is it because the line sucks? I mean, it's because also the quarterback hasn't been good. We don't have a solution at quarterback.
And by the way, two of those games in the 2018 season that I included were quarterbacked by Chase Daniel. And one was against Detroit where they scored 23 offensive points, which is higher than the norm, and 27 in an overtime loss to New York, that's obviously higher than the norm. For the last 30 games, this offense has accounted for 17.66 points per game.
And it's even lower when you take Chase Daniel out of the equation.
Correct.
Oh, boy. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
So when anybody says to you, we're kind of in a rut.
Right.
No.
Right.
This is who you are offensively.
We live in the rut. We were born in the rut.
We live in the rut.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Accept it. Enjoy it.
This is the offensive sewage system is where we live.
Yeah, that's exactly where we are. We're in the sewer.
We live in the, in the poop.
We're the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh. Yes, we are.
Yeah, without special powers.
No, none.
Do you know?
Okay. I think the turtles were doused by a liquid ooze, and that turned them into teenage crime-fighting turtles.
Let me add a little.
They don't have powers though; they just have weapons.
Let me add your story.
Okay, go ahead.
The Jets and the Giants are the only two teams in this calendar year that are averaging less than what the Bears have averaged. Okay, this year, the first seven games, the Giants are averaging 17.4. The Jets are averaging 12.1. Okay, last year, if you look at the teams in terms of scoring, I can sit here and tell you that only the Bengals, the Jets, and the Washington Redskins, and that's what they were last year, scored fewer points than the Bears. I can make a case to you that over the last 30 games, that basically only the Jets, more than likely, have scored fewer offensive points or averaged fewer offensive points.
And then just to bring it full circle, Washington, you said last year, right? They fired their coach, yes?
Yes.
The Giants.
Last year in 2019, Washington averaged 16.6 points per game.
The Giants, what'd they do at the end of the year after that?
After 2019, they made a coaching change.
They made a coaching change. What are the Jets about to do?
They're definitely making a coaching change.
So, I mean, when people say you're being too critical or you're being negative, all Waddle has ever asked for is average.
I would kill
not 17.66 points per game in 2020 when you score like it's a video game.
I may offer to go to jail for a week, and you know that how I feel about jail. If I could find this team to be average offensively for the entire year,
you heard it.
No,
Matt Nagy,
I take that back.
Ryan Pace.
That's how badly.
Ted Phillips.
That's how badly I want them to be average on offense.
Waddle just said, if you guys could be average offensively,
I'd contemplate going to jail for a week.
Waddle will go to jail for a week.
Voluntarily.
He said 26th in California, sign him up.
No, I want to go. No. I want to go to the Illinois Governor jail up in Wisconsin. That's where I want to go. I think they play golf and they cook.
All right, we'll get to the nuttiest story of the day. And how about your reaction to what Waddle just told you? 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, do you know what time it is? Time for the nuttiest story of the day, and it's brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball.
and it's bound to get a little nutty.
Yes, it is. By the way, I've already found a defensive touchdown scored in 2019. So my my average point total of 17.67 scored per game over the last 30 games by the Bears offense is already going to have to be adjusted downward. Yep. And I'm still looking. Yes, Night with Screwball, bound to get a little nutty.
You could have just emailed Jacob Nitzberg.
Yeah, I don't want to bother him. Yeah, like, we make him do this. All our work. I mean, we always do that.
That's his thing, though.
Yeah, but sometimes you just got to do your own thing, don't you?
Okay, I admire that.
Sometimes you just want to put a little bit of, you know, put a little sweat into it.
He's got a research project. Remember Phil Emery used to do those research projects? Remember that? Got a research project here. There
I had a research project for you, all right. Fighting cock kills police chief in Philippine raid.
I'm out.
A Philippine police officer was killed during a raid on an illegal cockfight after a rooster's blade sliced his femoral artery, an official said Tuesday. Cockfighting is a popular blood sport in the area where money is bet on the outcome of a fight, often to the death, between two colorful birds armed with bladed spurs. It has been banned along with other sporting and cultural events during the coronavirus pandemic to prevent large crowds from gathering and spreading the contagion. Monday's freak accident in the central province of northern Samar happened when Lieutenant Christian Bullock picked up a fighting cock as he gathered evidence of the unlawful event. Its blade struck his left thigh and he bled to death, according to the local police chief. It was an unfortunate accident and a piece of bad luck that I cannot explain. I could not believe it when it was first reported to me. This is the first time in my 25 years as a police officer that I lost a man due to a fighting cock's spur.
Little Jerry Seinfeld, what are you doing? That's terrible. The rooster killed a man.
Yes.
It's a rooster, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Ramis Ramirez used to fight.
What are you guys laughing about in there? Like, I mean, are
I
you guys?
I just can't say it. What's wrong?
We're having production meetings behind the glass here.
We're whipping up something good.
We're whipping
for the future.
Up something good for yeah. the future. Yeah, yeah.
Are you
don't
really?
Worry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I like it.
Yeah,
it's related to what you guys are talking about.
Yeah,
it's not like we're doing our
it.
Own
yeah.
thing in here. It's just. Something that was just said. Yeah. We're whipping something up. We think it's going to be fantastic.
Will we have it before the end of the day?
No, I think it's going to be
one of those floating bits, as they call it in the business.
Floating bit. Yeah. It's like a word, you know, like the word of the day or like the magic word from Pee Wee Herman, something like that, where if something is referenced, you might hear something.
Okay, and good.
By the way, real quick, there's a new nightly pill that they're testing that will eventually end snoring. Being tested in the United States.
I saw something today, too, on ESPN about a device you put in your body that could end that stuff. I think that's different, but...
Doesn't Yurko have those pills where you just end snoring? So you don't sleep.
That's not snoring. Oh. That's not snoring.
No
yet.
Sleeping.
Oh, I
up all night.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, now.
It is if you...
Hey, pal, how about a blue chew?
Yeah, boy. How about them Bears, huh? Offense yesterday?
Woo! How about them Bears?
What's going on? And Waddle gave us some alarming numbers. We've seen it. Matt Nagy's trying to write this off as just a bad stretch, a slump, a rut. I want to hear from you on how do we get out of this? 312-332-3776. And I'll give you results from our poll question. Who's the blame? Do you blame Pace more or Nagy more? That up in 2 minutes.